move now to Ron Hosko. He's the former FBI assistant director, and he joins us this morning. Ron, thank you very much for taking out some time for us this morning.
Good morning. It's good to be with you again.
Nice to have you. So let's jump into this whole, you know, this shooting, of course. I mean, as we're kind of navigating through all of this, we have, you know, well over 50 dead. We have well over 500 injured from this Vegas shooter, and the FBI intimately involved in all of this. What would the FBI's role be at this moment?
Well, I know from just watching video this morning and hearing some of the news yesterday that the FBI has very well practiced, trained, and equipped evidence response teams in every field office, certainly here in Washington, D.C., among the best. And so they will surge resources from the laboratory to supplement the evidence response teams to coordinate their work. And they'll certainly coordinate that with state and local investigators here who are the lead to try to recover evidence of value, to review it. I know that they got involved in the digital video review, much like the Boston Marathon bombing, where the FBI spent thousands of hours and surged a lot of people to look frame by frame over video in Boston. To track those attackers backwards and find out who the attackers were. The same effort will be going on here in Las Vegas to process probably thousands of hours of videotape to try to identify this killer's movements.
There's a lot
understand better, well, you know, what his motivation was.
There's a lot of evidence to pick through. Obviously, the many weapons found both in the hotel room as well as his home in Mesquite, and the crime scene itself, meaning the concert venue. It's still, unless I'm mistaken, this morning, it still sort of looks like how it did after everything was wrapped up just 2 nights ago now. And, you know, and also all of these computers. I heard local authorities explaining yesterday that they've been getting federal support to sort of go through all of the digital evidence, is what you've been talking about.
Yeah, they're going to do that. They're going to comb through that. And of course, you know, you hope that you don't run into any sort of encryption problem, which the FBI encountered in San Bernardino. But they are practiced in this sort of digital exploitation work to categorize the information that they'll find on hard drives and on hand carried devices, and try to put together a picture and see, you know, what did he search, what was he looking at on the internet, and when was he looking at it, and what was he doing in response, when did the activity occur, when did his life change, and start to go into this, you know, spiral towards madness. It is a critical role, even, you know, with 2020 hindsight now, or in retrospect. Look, the killing is over. The carnage has already occurred. We know who did it. The pressing question continues to be why. And so they want to have a complete understanding that hopefully can be shared across law enforcement, and it will make law enforcement writ large better at what they do, more informed, able to respond in a way that nobody responded to here to start out with. Nobody apparently saw this coming, although certainly there will be telltale clues.
Yeah, talking about the response, I'd like to talk about that a little bit more. 72 minutes the shooting went on. Why did it take so long to get officers up to that hotel room?
Well, you know, that's the first I've heard 72 minutes, you know, yesterday.
I'm sorry, 72 minutes. Did I say 72 hours? 72 minutes. Yeah, 72
right.
minutes.
No, you did. You know, that's the longest timeline I'd heard so far. You know, part of this, I think, is, you know, time and distance to the shooting location. Typically, when we're thinking about an active shooter, you know, you're looking horizontally and thinking somebody's coming from a hallway, or they're in a perch that is, you know, the same height as me. So I think that the offset, the distance to this hotel room, probably had, you know, in part an effect of concealing the source of the sound of the gunfire, and then identifying what room, what level it was, even though now, in good light, we can see from the outside what windows were blown out, and it becomes more obvious. So some of that's going to take a period of time. I suspect that some of the law enforcement response was slowed by what was going on down in the street, which is demanding a lot of attention. And then when you throw in the traffic with that, with first responders coming in, trying to attend to the wounded, others peeling off to try to get into this hotel room and find out exactly where it's coming from. Of course, one of the things you're looking to avoid as a law enforcer is kicking down the wrong hotel room door, breaching, you know, with an explosive breach, the wrong door, because it's very likely to hurt somebody innocent. So they want to get it right. They certainly want to move as quickly as possible.
Yes.
And it's going to take a period of time. And frankly, to assemble a SWAT team, a tactical team, with the capability to do an explosive breach and move them from place A to place B in a big city like Las Vegas, that alone is going to take a period of time. So I can't say that 72 minutes shocks me.
Okay.
I thought it was quicker than that. But, you know, it could be that they didn't have the right people in place.
Yeah.
Very few teams in America are going to be capable of executing an explosive breach in a way that they're training appropriately and they're fully prepared to do it the right way.
Yeah, NBC News reports that the first call of the shots came in to 911 at 10:08 p.m., and then the door was breached at 11:20 p.m. That's 72 minutes. So we'll see if that's the right timeline, but that seems, it's just, what chaos to imagine if it going on for an hour. Ron, real quick, last question here. The FBI has said they've ruled out any ISIS connection to the Las Vegas shooter, despite the fact that ISIS has claimed it several times yesterday. That suggests that they sort of feel like they have bulletproof evidence on this, right?
Yeah, it does. I think at first blush, this shooter certainly didn't fit any kind of demographic,
right,
for being inspired by ISIS. By the time we're 64, we generally have our religious beliefs, you know, charted out. This guy, you know, it seems like his driving belief was, you know, gambling. And so they're looking for those connections, of course, immediately.
Yes.
They're looking in our own holdings. They're talking within the intelligence community to see if anybody has ever heard of this guy or seen a connection. I think that was probably an easy one.
Right.
But we're still left with the very dark question of what went wrong in this guy's head.
A lot more questions here. Ron Hosko, former FBI Assistant Director, thank you very much for giving us some clarity this morning.
My pleasure.